right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, June 19th, 2014. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and seeing just how many depressing stories I can cram into these shows. I'm Morps, and tonight we have a full house with RU486, Madman, BSV, and the Yugosaki. I am drinking some Strongbow Honey and Apple Hard Cider, and I'm not all that pleased with it, truthfully. Madman, please tell me you're drinking something better.
Blue Moon Honey, I'll learn to speak one day. Blue Moon Summer Honey Wheat, and it is delicious.
Nice.
Yeah, real men just call it beer.
But beer's such a generic term. This is a Hefeweizen with lemon zest and honey in it.
Not sure which I'm more disappointed in, Tumblr or you right now.
Ow! Oh!
Big goal.
Hefeweizens are beers that have been around for years. It just means made with wheat instead of barley. Bite my ass, you Australian uncultured stop.
Damn right, but who's going to be the drunk fucker under the bridge? Me, because I'm not going to be picky.
Yugo, please tell me you're drinking something good.
No, I'm drinking Mountain Dew Code Red.
God!
Or the Horde?
Well,
I could turn this into a Bloody Mountain Don't if I had some alcohol, but I don't.
Fair enough. BSV, what do you got, man?
Water. Tried making alcohol, but all I could get is grape juice.
Didn't add yeast.
You forgot the Frenchman.
It's in the baked goods aisle of every store.
Don't use
make good alcohol, but if you just add yeast to Welch's grape juice.
Do not use baking yeast to make. No. Do not tell him that. Don't tell anyone that.
No, that's why I need the Frenchman, is because the fact their feet are yeasty enough as it is. Get them to stomp the grapes.
That works too. Again, I don't know how good the alcohol is going to be, but it will actually make alcohol.
Are you done anything fancy with your coffee?
I looked at it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yo. No, actually, it isn't a recycled cup. I have been using this cup for the last 4 days.
So that might be getting slightly alcoholic at this point.
And it's the only one that didn't have ants in it this morning, so we're doing well. You can tell I've been living on my own fucking 2.5 months now. The dishes are stacked everywhere. There's shit all over the floor. No shit, there's literally a trail from the bed to the office, down to the kitchen and back up to the office through the dust. You can see where I've been walking just to get beer and back up.
I thought I was doing bad hacking my Chromebook today, so.
Wow. That's all right. The wife's back in 5 days.
So,
and then
are
I have
you sure? She could just walk
again
in the door and turn right back around.
<It's> No, from what I understand, she spent every cent we had. She can't afford to go anywhere. She's trapped now.
Oh. Well, that's
3 months in Europe costs a lot.
I'll bet. Shit. All right.
They did every country over there, man. Fucking crazy.
Well, I bet it was fun.
Oh, yeah, I wish I'd been there, especially for the Spain Riviera bit. Oh, you get your own butler and fucking chef service for a week.
Well, that's why you're broke, hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my Chromebook to run Kali Linux as close to natively as you're going to get it, so I was kind of proud of that. No more Google Botnet OS for me, so... Anyways, I don't know. Has anybody else pulled off anything particularly impressive with their gear before we get into the discussion topic here? Because I had to open the Chromebook up and scrape a little write protect thing off the circuit board so I could flash
that. That reminds me. I got to get that dismantled plasma TV out of the living room. It's huge, too. All over the place.
Yeah, don't let the plasma leak out. That stuff will burn things.
So I was a bit worried when I was working on it about that. But then I stopped and forgot about it and just remembered it then.
All right. So I thought we'd have our discussion topic on... So I guess YouTube is looking to become the basic cable of the internet. They've got a new service they're looking to add. It's a subscription service. They haven't made any official announcements or dates yet, but apparently they've been signing deals with major labels, and Google has stated that any label that does not sign a deal with them will not only be left off the new service, but will have their content taken down from the original, the free side of YouTube. The vice president and global head of business at YouTube, Robert Kinkel, recently claimed that they already had deals with 90% of the industry and that they had no choice but to move forward. While we wish that we had 100% success rate, we understand that this is not likely achievable goal, and therefore it is our responsibility to our users and to the industry to launch the enhanced music experience. The way this got found out, and I've got the CNET article here, is pretty much they picked apart the YouTube app for Android, and they figured out that this thing's going to be called the YouTube Music Pass, and apparently, it's going to be set so you can leave it running in the background. It'll be ad-free. It kind of sounds like Spotify, to be honest with you, but apparently they're saying I'm kind of wondering how they would identify, I guess maybe official accounts or whatever, but they're saying they're actually going to pull music down from YouTube if it's not signed through their music service.
But if you've got an exclusive label signing with someone else, how does that work?
I don't know.
They're making deals with labels. It's just independent contractors that would be affected.
Well, I mean,
like they might start pulling Morpse's crap if he ever gets any good.
Yeah, thanks for that. Well, I was actually thinking, guys like Tack, right? They don't.
Yeah.
I think he did eventually sign with the label, didn't he? But a lot of a lot of his early stuff, he was just throwing up, and that's actually how he got noticed. Was he did that Yogscast video, and that kind of got him going there.
Is it just music?
I'm not sure. It's a music service, and of course the Forbes article that I pulled that first bit from really was laying it on thick about how Google is basically screwing over the smaller independent labels. I mean, it's really laying it on thick about Google's going to fuck you over kind of thing.
Well, the question is, what's the criteria for determining who should be registered under their music service? Because, like, say if I have a regular YouTube channel and every couple months or so I make a song and throw it up, would I qualify?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. There's not enough information here to play with. But I guess I'm more concerned with the concept of we've built this huge following, and, now if you don't play our game, we're going to yank your shit down. And, since there's not really any other game in town, I mean, yeah, there's Vimeo and a few other video sites out there, but none of them that you can really – I mean, there's guys out there making a living on YouTube, and I'm not aware of any other video sites where you can really do that. I mean, what's the – is it Twitch? Is that the video game one?
Yeah.
Are there people actually
Twitch
able
TV.
To make a living on that or
– through their donations.
They're
thing,
doing donations, but, okay.
Yeah, it's usually camera whores, though. Like, sad to say, but I've already been involved in shutting two camera whores down this morning already just by trying to make them cry.
Well, that's a good point. I did forget about, the pay-per-porn site, so I guess it's not a new concept.
Yeah. Well, on one hand, it's like if they only target, say, actual proper labels whose primary revenue is from music, not YouTube, then this could be a good thing because it could help spur the smaller independent
guys to be
more popular.
Get all the commercial crap off there.
Yeah, but if they're doing this to any kind of main music thing, then it'll have the opposite effect. It'll crush people who can't afford to be part of YouTube's label.
Yeah. And, I saw a whole bunch of angry commenters saying they can't do this, they don't have the right, blah, blah, blah. No, they've got the right. They own the site. They can do whatever the hell they want. So that's not an argument, but you throw your stuff up on this site and you just kind of trust them to always play by the rules, and now they're changing the rules on you. So I don't know.
As long as they don't interfere with them reposting it to other sites, I don't see what the major issue is. If YouTube doesn't want you to post your crap there, go to LiveLeak.
Well, if they're making you sign up to their service, then there must be some kind of rules, either restrictions on what you can post or restrictions on where you can post it. Otherwise, it would make no sense to make this subscription service.
Well, I guess my, you know, the thing that kind of irks me about it is there's a lot of independent, you know, musicians and people who got their start by posting YouTube videos. And, you know, even some big name ones who we shall not name because I don't like to remember that they exist. You know, they got started doing YouTube videos, and if YouTube says nope, if you're doing music, it has to be on our pay service only. That's interesting. I don't know how you enforce that for one, but it's a strange line to draw.
A lot of the recent big stuff, at least as far as K-pop, which is the only big music industry I know of that got started from YouTube, they're now a label and can afford to pay YouTube's prices.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, you know, what was the Gangnam Style guy? I mean, that was a YouTube-only thing, and he got real big.
Psy was big
in Korea.
It was a K-pop thing. Korea, he was already backed commercially.
Yeah,
it's just YouTube
big
was how
Korea
they were
already.
Doing distribution. It's how they cut their costs.
Ah. So, I don't know. I mean, is this... I mean, do we care? I guess that's the ultimate line. Do we actually care?
Am I the end consumer going to have to pay something for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you want access to the music channel on YouTube, you'll have to pay for it. It'll be ad-free, and I'm wondering if that means they're going to make the ads that much more obnoxious. And they're already pretty obnoxious on YouTube if you're not using any kind of an ad blocker. But
the only music source I use YouTube for is the occasional like opera or something like that that I'll listen to.
Yeah.
Everything
I don't
else.
Think that'll be very hit. That's not making money.
Yeah, it's probably not. But anything else, I listen to Galaxy 15 like any normal person would. But no, it won't affect me.
I'm thinking a lot of the stuff that I watch on YouTube is already pirated anyway. Or original content, like the Internet Aristocrat.
Yeah.
If this only affects the big guys, then no, I don't care, because I'll just get what little music I want from them elsewhere. But if this affects everyone, especially like the small independent guys who are just starting, then I do have a problem with it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're posting music. No, it has to go on our pay service. Yeah, I'd have a problem with that too.
There's so many other ways for them to get their music out now. It doesn't really matter.
So now, is this just going to be restricted to specifically just music or anything with music in it?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it's ostensibly it's just for music. You know, the idea is they're going to make a pay for ad free streaming service, right? But it's an interesting point, BSV, that if it's got music in it that has to be on our streaming service, we're taking it down because you're not a recognized partner or whatever. That's a good point. How many videos are going to get yanked just because they've got a background, a soundtrack? I don't know how this is going to play. I feel like the Forbes article is kind of playing it up a little bit, you know, link bait. But at the same time, I could actually see Google doing this. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, wow, there won't be any more anime music videos. The horror.
Those are a thing? I thought that, like, stopped.
They're still on YouTube.
Huh.
Didn't watch them, don't care.
All right, well, I guess we don't care. Just, you know, it's an interesting point that...
We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really funny. I guess what got my attention for this was all the people in the comments sections on the stories about this, you know, losing their fucking mind, saying, oh, Google can't do this, YouTube doesn't have the right to do to take videos down, you know, to force people to pay for them, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, no, if you go check the licenses before you upload anything, you actually read the end user agreement, you know, sent iPad or whatever it was.
I tried to stay away from that because it was the rational
debate.
Go
for it, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, it's... No, I'm not going to go at it now, it'll seem forced, but they can do what they want.
Yeah, they can. I mean, it's theirs. It's their service. You're trusting them to behave.
Well, it'd be the same if you were to erect a paywall on Galaxy 15.
You would fly over here just to kick me in the dick for it.
That alone, but at the end of the day.
Well, at the end of the day, it's my name on everything, but that's.
Yeah.
Well, my pseudonym, anyways.
But, yeah, they can do what they want. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, though, this is coming from a handful of statements that might have been pulled together from other places in a dissected Android app. So there might not actually be anything to it.
Well, Google isn't stupid. If this is as broad sweeping as the article makes it seem, this could easily kill YouTube because, like, when YouTube started, it was a big thing because it was so hard to get a service like that together.
Yeah.
These days, it's not.
That's true. There's a lot of competitors out there, and hell, you know, Vimeo is just rubbing their hands, hoping Google does this.
Oh yeah, but they'd have to really lift their game in service.
Well, Vimeo, I like their service, but their site just feels so disjointed. I mean, the quality's always good.
Yeah, it's not as quick as, well, from my perception anyway, it's not as quick as YouTube. Most of the time I do have to buffer. I don't know what that's like for you guys, but with YouTube, I never have to buffer.
Well, that's YouTube probably has, well, it's they've probably got content distribution boxes at your ISP. I doubt Vimeo does.
Yeah.
So, most of those videos are probably already cached locally. See, that's the thing, though, is YouTube's got the audience. Almost no other site has the kind of, you know, user base that YouTube does.
Yeah, but we've seen it all. We've all seen it happen before. It only takes one bad policy implement, and your whole business model could fall apart.
Yep, that's
like MySpace.
Look at Dig and Reddit. Dig and Reddit are basically the same thing, but Dig got weird, so everyone abandoned it.
Hmm? Yeah. So why is Facebook still around? That seems like one that should have fallen over and died by now.
Because of 40-year-olds.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, Vimeo charges.
Yeah, they've already got the service, but they're at least up front about it.
Yeah.
It's up to the person uploading the video whether they want it on the pay side or not.
Plus, Vimeo's pay service is a reasonable trade-off. Like, the free service is still 100% usable.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll just keep our eye out for a good YouTube alternative. Hell, Galaxy 15 Radio is a YouTube alternative. It's not that hard to spin up a clone, but you're right, I don't want the headache.
I was going to say, you really want the headache?
No. I bet I could talk Madman into running it for me, though.
You could automate the copyright compliance.
I've done it before, haven't I?
Yeah, except I want everything to go into the File 32. Well, not File 32, File 13 on my computer.
It's like, yeah, we actually host it out of... you'll find some place to put the front-end server, like, I don't know, some pick Middle East country that doesn't give it...
Russia. Korea.
We'll run it off the Russian business network.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dubai.
Oh, there you go. Sealand or whatever it was.
As you two are Americans, Dubai is probably not a good idea.
I'm not ever going to go there. That's just where the server's sitting.
Yeah, we'll just drop ship it there and set it. Yeah.
I'd like to say some obscure outsourcing in Pakistan.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Then you got to worry about drone strike.
No, Nauru. We have to keep that place alive.
It's sad.
All right. Let's see. First story up is from the BBC. Apparently, the UK intelligence service, GCHQ, has decided it is fully legal to snoop on British users of Google, Facebook, and web-based email without any specific warrant. because the firms are based abroad. So it, because they're classified as external communications, you know, even though I know I'm fairly certain that Google and Facebook and most of your big name web emails have local UK servers. Doesn't matter. That's you know, because it's a foreign company. That's external communications, and they don't need a warrant to spy on it.
That is a terrible precedent. That could mean that foreign companies in that country no longer have legal protections.
Basically, they've classified it as external communications, and such activity can be covered by a broad warrant and intercepted without extra clearance, said Charles Farr. Apparently, when somebody searches for something on Google or posts on Facebook, they are sending information overseas, constituting an act of external communication that could be collected under a broader warrant, which does not need to be signed by a minister. So, basically, they write themselves the piece of paper that says, yes, we want to spy on this person, we give ourselves permission, and they're reading your email.
Wow.
Okay, so... Does the UK have the same thing that the States and Canada does where corporations are legally persons?
I don't believe so. Well, maybe.
Corporate personhood? Yes, it does.
Yeah, if it does.
It's not exactly the same as the US, but it's close enough.
If it does, and does that mean they can spy on people and justify it just by, oh, they're not in the UK or they're not from the UK, so maybe they are in the UK, but they're not a UK citizen?
Well, you know, this level... Honestly, the level of paranoia, because if you think about it, if that's the justification the UK is using openly, you think other countries aren't doing the same damned thing and just using that same justification? I think the real trip up here is that it got published, that somebody admitted to it publicly, that's how they're justifying it, that, oh, that's going across the border so we can look at it.
Mm.
This whole paranoia police state, we have to read everyone's email. I'm still trying to figure out where this comes from. You know, I'm not aware of any terrorist plot that was thwarted because they read somebody's fucking Google account, right? There is some fun theories floating around that they're using it to blackmail politicians, but...
I don't think it's to protect us. I think it's to control their populations.
Yeah.
So but how are they controlling them?
Blackmail.
In the U.S., we figured out who to target and then had the IRS target. Who's to say?
I think that, Doctor Who just landed at Hugo's thing? House. Sorry, Madman.
Oh, I pretty much said it. I just wanted to hear if anyone was going to jump on the bandwagon with me.
Well, we couldn't hear you. Hugo
we
had
couldn't hear
the
Doctor Who.
Hugo
I said
accidentally
in the U.S.
released
we used it to figure out who to target and then had the IRS go after them.
Yeah. But then conveniently lost the documents when you're caught out.
So
that's the bit I enjoyed.
To say England's not going to do the same thing. You're doing something that the political party in power does not like. Now it's time to crack down on you with any legal means we have. Because we all know, with the societies we live in, we're all guilty. There's enough laws on the books in all of our countries. We're guilty of something. They just have to find what, and then throw us in prison.
Yeah, you're right. The whim laws. Yeah. Good point, man.
All right.
Take one free internet.
Next one. I wish the internet was still free. Next one up is from Engadget. Next week, U.S. Marshals will auction off the $18 million or so worth of Bitcoin that the FBI seized from Silk Road. And what they've done is they've accidentally leaked a list of interested parties that apparently to bid on these Bitcoins, you had to drop $200,000 into escrow before June the 27th. And this list was not just people who put the escrow up, but also people who had asked questions about the auction. So anyone who was interested in buying out this Silk Road Bitcoins, their name was put on this list, and this list was quote-unquote leaked.
So this is a private auction? run by the government?
Yes.
So technically they were trying to get rid of this money off the books, under the table?
No, it's reported and actually goes back into funding different police acts.
Because generally the only auctions I know about that you've got to put money up front are black market auctions.
When doing large assets, the government does that, especially with houses seized by drug dealers.
Yeah, they want to make sure you actually have the collateral to pay for what you're bidding on.
My problem isn't that they're selling it, it's that it's civil forfeiture. Has anyone actually been found guilty of a crime yet?
Yeah, they have. They nailed Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh, so he's actually been charged, convicted, and everything?
Yeah, but there was some weirdness around that, too. They were real secretive about it.
My big problem with a lot of stuff going on in the States right now is the process known as civil forfeiture. They'll take your property before you're found guilty of a crime. And that's illegal, in my opinion. Sucks balls.
You get your property back if you're found not guilty?
Nope.
No, it's gone.
Why? Can you get your money back that they sold it for?
No. You can try to fight them if you have the money to fight the government. Few people have. And most of those that fought them have won, but it takes lots of cash to fight the government. So if you're not already rich or have backers like the American Freedom Foundation or any libertarian law group that notices that this is happening and has decided to take pity on you, you're fucked.
Wow.
What a fuck legal system.
That's the problem. It's not legal and no one has challenged it. Legislature just ignores it, and anytime anyone's tried to crack down on it, they've gotten the shit kicked out of them. I know the state of Florida attempted to put in some laws to limit it, and the politicians that were backing it magically failed to get reelected and were redistricted.
Right. Yeah, they love being able to see, and it comes down to that it's like the Meals on Wheels we were talking about from the Australian government. You know, they're getting a lot of benefit from this, and because it's not causing riots in the streets yet, it's just, I don't, Hugo, are you building the time machine over there, man? I mean, we've heard the strange noises, we're hearing the, I'm just curious.
I'm combat training a rodent.
Okay.
All right.
The blade of the knife goes towards the head of the rodent, not towards the feet from the back. I just want to point this out. I've seen that mistake before.
Just remember to paint before assemble.
It's a hell of a battle cry that thing had, though, earlier.
Wow.
As far as the story goes, I don't think it's an issue with them releasing who's bidding on it. Were they given some idea that it would be private?
Yes.
I'm kind of annoyed at that. I think all auctions of government-seized property should be public.
Damn right.
That's a good point.
Or at least the public should know about it.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, next one up is from The Enquirer. Let's see. This one's funny. This is the phones. Apparently, a Chinese company named Star makes a cell phone called the N9500 that looks a hell of a lot like a Nokia N9500. Like, a lot like it. And
like, identical like it?
Like easy to confuse it like it. And so they've got this knockoff phone, and they've loaded them up with malware, and they're selling them on eBay for, like, $150. And they're decent phones, you know, quad core, gig of RAM, 8 gigs of storage kind of thing. So, but they're loading them up with spyware.
Awesome.
And I love the strategy of just manufacturing cheap phones already with the malware in them and just selling them. It's like, yeah, here you go. It's pre-pwned. I mean, pre-owned.
They're cheap, and we can flash them and put a decent ROM on it, right?
Well, that's the annoying part, is that as opposed to, you know, eBay has actually put out a statement due to the reports that some Star 9500 phones are loaded with spyware. It has said eBay will not allow the sale of these devices on their site as a precautionary measure, which I find pretty annoying. I'd like to get, you know, I mean, one, if you know it's got malware on it, you can order it and pick the malware apart or at least flash it and get it clean.
Yeah, just flash the phone. Cheap phone, sucked in.
But
great.
I mean, maybe I'm naive, but don't you, if you buy a used computer, tablet, phone, don't you always wipe it clean, flash it first anyways?
That would be what smart people do.
But then I would have lost all of Static's photos, and these are something I could use to blackmail him later on.
Oh, well, that's you know, that's different. But I'm not saying you don't check it first, but before you start using it, don't you?
Most people don't know how to do that.
Really? It's not that hard.
Yeah, but it's not that hard for us because we're geeks.
It's not that hard for people that want to look into it. How many people do you know want to look into it, Marbs?
I don't want to answer that question because it makes me sad.
Who's been giving tech support for their family? That should give you an idea.
I really hate fixing printers, too. Anyways.
And you have an intelligent family. I've met most of them, or many of them.
Yeah.
Now think of the average people.
And realize half of them are dumber than that.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyways, it's interesting. What's even more interesting to me is that eBay is actually policing and saying, no, you can't sell this phone on our service because it might have spyware on it.
Well, they're trying to just avoid complaints and lawsuits in the future.
That's true.
I doubt it's about consumer protection because it's eBay.
Yeah, it's not exactly what they're known for.
So. I mean, I could have bought an Xbox box. It was a very nice Xbox box, and they only wanted $150 for it at the time.
Wow, where can I get these Xbox box?
I may have an extra one in my closet, and I will send it to you for only $150 plus shipping.
Awesome.
And in it, I will put a solar-powered clothes dryer and my favorite air guitar.
How much you want for that air guitar? I've been looking for a new one.
$25.
Done. As long as the shipping's not too much.
It's eBay. The shipping is like $56.
All right. Well, sticking with smartphones here. Next one up is from Reuters. Apparently, Nokia paid several million euros to hackers who had managed to get an encryption key for the core part of Symbian back when Symbian was relevant. And it's like about 6 years ago. So they blackmailed Nokia, and Nokia paid them. And my favorite line from the article, after the blackmail attempt, Nokia contacted the police and agreed to deliver the cash in a parking lot in Tampere, central Finland. The money was picked up, but the police lost track of the culprits.
What?
The police told them to pay them off.
Stack of $100 bills, and the cops jumped for it. That's what I heard.
Wow.
Yeah, the police
lost
them.
That's what the story said, but I swear that's what I heard.
How? I don't want to hear heap shit on the police there, but really, how inept do you have to be? Or how good were these guys at getting away?
I don't know.
Yeah, and then why are they blackmailing Nokia?
At the time, Nokia was relevant. This was back when Symbian was a thing. It was 6 years ago. But the thing is, the reason I wanted to talk about this story, I've talked about it on Decking before, but if you go look at companies' public financial filings, publicly traded companies, their financial documents, you will find lots of them list a very vague IT consulting or computer services line. And, you know, it'll be for some round number. And that's blackmail. That's somebody got into their systems, got something, called them up, and said, you give us money, and we'll make this problem go away. And, of course, most of them honor it. I mean, most of them, you pay them, they honor it. So, you know, this happens all the time. This is the old school way hackers used to make money, is they'd get their data and then blackmail the company that owned it.
It's penetration testing when you inform the company that you've done it after it's over.
Well, somebody's going to test your network. It's just a question of whether you pay them before or after.
And it's really nice if they're good enough to write up a white paper for you after you pay them off.
It's not called blackmail. It's called taking the initiative.
Good old synergistic management solutions there for you. That's what we need to do. Is we need to start one of these, you know, anonymous, you know, groups and call it something like that, you know, some business term.
Slightly dubious business solutions, we could call it.
Did you say slightly dubious?
Yeah, slightly dubious business solutions, we could call a company.
SUBS. That doesn't really spell anything.
No.
Too bad. I was hoping that had some cool acronym.
No, that was. Hey, man, give me a couple of minutes. I'll come up with something better. Right?
All right, cool. You know? So, yeah, I just wanted to point it out that this happens a lot, and you know, it's not strange at all. It's just interesting because it was Nokia, and maybe this is why Nokia gave up on their own stuff and just went with Windows phones.
So. Yeah, could have been.
Anyways, let's see here. Next story is from the Register. AT&T is warning customers that their personal information might have been breached as part of a scheme to unlock and resell devices. According to a letter the company sent to its customers, the breach occurred earlier this year between April the 9th and the 21st, as three workers pulled the customer data in order to request unlock codes from AT&T, which then could be used to remove the device from AT&T's network and allow the device to be resold. So what was happening here was... there were some contractors from AT&T. This was not AT&T's internal employees. This was a reseller they were working with. They would somehow get their hands on these phones. Then, because they had access to AT&T's database, because they were contracted with them, they'd look up all the information they needed to go punch in the unlock code so they could then take the, you know, turn around and sell the phones unlocked on eBay. Probably new. They were probably, like, you know, double registering phones or something. But anyways, because this happened and they could have accessed customer data, California law required AT&T to notify anybody whose data might have been accessed.
Wow.
So. But I found that one interesting, that AT&T, one of their contractors, was doing this. Because you got to look what they were doing with it. They probably weren't even looking to do the identity theft. They just wanted to, you know, take a phone that somebody was getting for $200 and resell it online for $6 or $7.
Yeah, they're just trying to profit from it.
Right.
Yeah, again, this is fairly common, especially with the nature of work these days, where instead of everyone hiring their own employees, they just hire shitloads of contractors and give these contractors pretty privileged access. So I'm just surprised that so far it's been limited to the phones that we know of.
Well, hell, that's what happened with Target, wasn't it? It was one of the, who was it? Was it the janitorial service or something?
No, janitors at Target actually work for Target.
No, they had a contractor. Maybe it wasn't janitorial. I don't remember what the contractor was for. But it was the contractor that got popped, and that's how Target systems got popped back around Thanksgiving. Was they got it into the contractor's access.
I'm kind of wondering which subcontractors they've got, because Walmart's a subcontractor that does that kind of stuff. So is Target.
And I even don't Best remember. Buy. Go Google it, man. It'll come up. There were lots of articles about it. I just don't remember. But yeah,
I could see some wage slaves just hired in, barely making cash, doing that for extra money.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, they go in a chat room. They give them some file they dumped off a machine at work. Hell, they probably don't even know what it does. And. Yeah, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it does. They don't care. They just, you know, they just downloaded this program to a flash drive, ran it, brought the flash drive back, went into an IRC chat room, told the guy they got it, and, you know, there's money in their PayPal account. And if you think that shit doesn't happen, you're kidding yourself.
This happens enough that IKEA has official policies in place to prevent this.
Ooh, but, I'd love to know what they are.
Yeah, I don't work there anymore, so I don't care that people online know. But I used to work security at IKEA, and one of the policies was, like, I used to work in computer security, and they seen that on my resume. So what they would do is, and there's other security employees who also work security computer illiterate. Whenever a contractor had to work in the server room, I would have to have a list of what they were supposed to be doing to our servers, and I'd have to escort them in there and stay in there until they were done.
Yeah, that's fairly common. I'm actually, where I work right now, I'm working on a system so that at any point in time, I can pull an account and go see what files they accessed on our servers for 90 days. So if we have a contractor come in, we'll be able to pull a report of everything they touched. So...
So make sure if you work for Morps' company, commit the crime, don't quit until 90 days later.
Well, no, it's I'm very mercenary, so if you're going to commit the crime, I should stop talking.
Yeah, yeah, you should.
Yeah.
And there's that battle rodent again. He's coming for me now since I'm making those kind of jokes.
Odds are someone in the building didn't lock their terminal, just used their credentials to commit the crime.
Yeah, always lock your terminal, because we got a few people that'll Hasselhoff you, or if you leave yourself logged into Facebook.
You deserve it.
We've got one guy who's come out as a flaming homosexual on his Facebook page like 7 times now because he keeps leaving his computer unlocked.
Wow. I'm just disappointed in the same individual who keeps putting the same thing, the same status.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, the first couple of times he was coming out and then coming out again, and the last few times he was looking for dates. So,
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, with strange messages from his wife showing up saying, you're doing what?
Oh, that makes it even better.
So...
called snowballing, honey. It's called snowballing.
Oh, God. Those who don't know what that is, don't type it into Google. Get your grandma to type it in.
Just watch Clerks and you'll figure it out.
Congratulations. You don't want to know. All right. Let's... Okay, this next one is fun. It's from betaboston.com, but it's posted all over the place. The Supreme Court apparently ruled that abstract ideas cannot be patented on a computer. The case was Alice Corp versus CLS Bank International. It involved claims that a computer system configured to carry out a method for exchanging financial data could be patented. So, what, FTP? They were trying to patent FTP? The Supreme Court unanimously ruled that such claims are not eligible for patent protection because they are directed to an abstract idea. Now, this is all over the place, and everybody's going nuts saying how great it is because the Supreme Court just struck down software patents. No, they did not. They struck down abstract software patents. And you know how you know if it's abstract or not? You lose a court case to it. That's how you know if it's abstract or not.
Wow.
I'm sorry, but it's software patents have not gone away yet. I wish they would. I think they're a terrible idea. Because you should copyright software, not patent it.
Mm-hmm.
And although copyright's messed up too. I mean, at least with patent law, the patent goes away after a reasonable period of time. So... But yeah, I mean, there's all the stories everywhere talking about how great this is, but if you actually read it, you know, they're saying generalized ideas. They're not saying things like, yeah, this bank was trying to patent the idea of exchanging data across computer systems. I think the internet qualifies as prior art. But
how are you going to do that 10% different to get around it?
Yeah, see, I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
But, you know, they didn't strike down, you know, the touchscreen patents that all the cell phone makers have, or all the UI patents that Microsoft has, or, well, actually, I think Apple has a bunch of those, too. I forget who's got what patents at this point. Oh, that reminds me. I didn't get the story, but somebody finally is. Somebody got a copy of all the patents that Microsoft is using to threaten Android manufacturers with. And
I want somebody to finally start the war, just full-blown patent war. It's the only way the problem's going to be solved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, none of them will do it because they all know they'll go out of business. If
yeah.
Nobody's got enough patents to have a whole system anymore. So, plus, anytime when any technology company goes belly up, everybody goes nuts trying to get the patents. But, all right, last news story here I've got for today, and this is from Wired. This is great. Brooklyn-based designer created the X-Pose, a black-webbed rubber top that gradually turns more sheer the more personal data that is left laying around in a cell phone it's Bluetooth to. So basically what this artist did was she made this 3D-printed top that works with your cell phone. I'll read the slug here in a minute. That as you expose more personal data through the cell phone, the top turns more and more transparent to the point where if you've put out too much personal data, she's essentially walking around flashing everybody, right? So let's see here. She decided to aggregate it, and everybody goes quiet as they click the links to see, ooh, what's that look like? She decided to aggregate this data collected on her every day, the data collected on her every day, building a mobile app to do the job using Node.js and PhoneGap. X-Pose is the result of the data points, which have been translated to an abstract geometric representation using 3D printing software Rhino. Under the mesh is an array of displays that can change in opacity according to which location you are in, mapped out to the design, and how much data you are giving up at any given minute in real time. They are laid from electrochromatic film, which becomes transparent when a current is passed through at a specific frequency. The app doing the data calculations is driving the current, which with the panels controlled by an Arduino and a link to the app via Bluetooth. Give too much away and you'll bear all for the world to see. It's a fun concept.
It's funny. I've clicked on the top. She's still covered by the proper circuitry. She won't be topless.
Oh, yeah, no, but it's a fun concept.
It's a novel idea to get people thinking about how much data they're dumping around.
Yeah, actually, when they're talking to the artist, that's exactly what she was trying to do with it. So
yeah, this looks... I've seen other ones. Like, there's a personal space one where if people get too close to you, the dress expands. Like, these are just basically pieces of art.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be clothing. But
no,
is it bad? The first thing I thought of when they said Bluetooth is, I wonder if we can hack that.
it's like click, click, and then click, click.
Hi, I got the new Android Tits app. Yeah, this thing would just spam dump data, and you get the tits.
Of course, it has no way of telling whether or not the data that it's finding is actually real.
That's also true. So, and it is just tied to her cell phone, so, but I thought it was a neat concept, and, hey, tits, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's roll into this. Pretty light for Digital Dojo tonight. I've got a Iron Geek video, or a video on Iron Geek's site, I should say, from Circle City Con. That's on Active Directory Defense, or Enterprise Active Directory Defense. I've watched most of it. It's a pretty good talk. The presenter does a quick rundown of some very basic things you can do in Active Directory to reduce your domain account exposures. It's really simple stuff, but it's stuff a lot of network admins either haven't thought of or think it's going to be too much of a hassle or whatever. Things like, instead of using your primary user account, put it in the domain admin group if you're your domain admin, actually creating separate accounts that are your domain admins and restricting it so they can only log into domain controllers for doing that kind of work. And he goes through some good explanations of that, lists out some tools for doing group policy. It's a really good video to watch if you do anything with a Windows Active Directory domain. So it's a good starting point for keeping attacks like past the hash, or even stupid shit like keyloggers from getting a domain admin account on your network. So,
cool. I'm going to give that a look tonight.
Yeah, it's a decent video. He has some audio problems with it, especially midway through. So just be aware when you start to hear the feedback loop to yank the headphones off your head because it gets loud.
So, thanks for the heads up.
Just be ready to yank out the earbuds because he runs into some technical problems right before 0.7, if I remember right. But other than that, the audio is not terrible. He's fairly easy to understand. And I think the microphone is a little far away from him, or it's echoey or something. But it's not terrible. But anyways, he's got some really good points. So if you have anything to do with Windows Directory or Active Directory, you really do want to watch this. I'm actually going to send it over to our sysop guys where I work. It's like, you probably ought to watch this. So, because I'm watching the video and it's like, you know, we've done, you know, they've done like step one and two. It's like, no, let's do all of this. Here you go. And a lot of it's fairly quick stuff. So.
Cool.
So. Anyways, that's all I got tonight. Fairly light show, actually, for having a full crowd. That's okay. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Hopefully we'll get back to working on it again soon. Of course, summer lull, and you know, I'm still getting my butt kicked by getting used to the new job. And I know, actually, I have no idea what's happened to Big. I'm going to assume he was eaten by rabid goats.
Yeah, he's dehydrated and lying in some strange girl's bed, far as I can tell. And just curious, Hugo, when can we see your rodent fight, and who will he be fighting in the up-and-coming fights?
Well, I have a list at work. It's called Persons of Interest. I'm going to gather up those people and throw them in a pit, and that'll be entertainment.
All right, hoping to see those videos very soon.
Any chance on your subversive behavior coming back anytime soon?
I do not know.
Fair answer.
The thing is, like, every day for me is a little bit different schedule-wise, so there's no way to consistently set that up yet.
No, that's fair ball. I was just, it's almost not fair to ask you blind like that, so.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. Missing Dialogues is on Tuesdays, but I haven't gotten the lore a good system yet, so whether or not he'll make it live on the station or not is spotty, but he is still doing his shows. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, and the IRC channel. I guess that's it, isn't it? So, am I supposed to plug anything else? I think that's all of it.
No, that's everything.
That's everything.
No, you're good.
Cool. So, anyways, I think I'm going to hit play on this music unless anybody else has anything before I do that.
I'm good.
Hit play.